people who lose are dangerous. I'll explain on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, this is Mike Kellogg. Key Life, getting you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness to Christ. Our Bible teacher is Steve Brown. And here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your time at your church, listening to your pastor's sermon and worshiping, was as beneficial to you as it was to me. If you guys have a Bible and you're in a place where you can open it, and by the way, I appreciate more than you know taking time each day to study the Bible with me. We're all busy. There was a time when I could tell people I was busy and they felt sorry for me. I don't even do that anymore. I tell people I'm busy and then I have to listen to them tell me how busy they are. So I know that one of the most important gifts you can give somebody is time. And you give me time each day, and I try not to waste it. I study the Word so I can bring the eternal truth both to myself and to you. And incidentally, when I teach the Bible, and that's what I do, I place myself under the same authority that I ask you to do. And so if you feel guilty, please note that I have felt guilty in the study as I prepared this probably more than you. Enough. If you have your Bible, turn it to the Old Testament. We're in the middle of our Old Testament survey. Well, not in the middle. We're still sort of at the beginning. We're going to be doing this till Jesus comes back. Maybe with a couple of breaks if you get tired of it or I get tired of it. We're up to 1 Kings, actually 1 and 2 Kings, and we'll spend most of this week, maybe a little bit of next week in 1 and 2 Kings before we move on. Before we get into the Word, let's go before the throne. Father, we're glad for all that you have done in our lives. When we pause and we start thinking about it, and then we look in a mirror and see what we're really like, we wonder why. We wonder about your love, and it becomes far more wondrous than it was before. Father, you are gracious, and you're kind, and you're gentle, and you're patient, and you've been faithful. And, Father, we're acutely aware that we don't deserve it. And so, Father, we come to you because we've tried every other place, and you have the Word of Life. We're here because you have taught us truth, and we can't unsee it. We're here because you found us, and we can't become unfound. Father, we're here because you loved us, and we know we didn't deserve it. And so, Father, meet us at this place. You know our needs. You know the things that keep us awake at night, the perspiration on our forehead, the trembling hand, the questions that don't have any answers, the doubts. Father, you know the loneliness and the sin. You know it all. And we're here because you're sufficient, and you're totally sufficient. And so meet us at the point of those needs. Father, as always, we pray for the one who teaches on Key Life. Forgive him his sins. There are a bunch of them. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have your Bible, open it to 1 Kings 19. Now, if you've been with us the last two or three weeks, we spent a significant portion of time introducing these books of the Old Testament. And what I'm doing with each of the books of the Old Testament is that I'm giving you some handles, some exegetical notes, if you will, some handles whereby you can read these books and really enjoy them. Now, we're not going line upon line and precept upon precept. I'll give you these handles, some introductory stuff to each of the books, some of the major themes, and then I'll be a tour director, and we'll look at some of my favorite passages in these books. And then when you go back and study them for yourself, you'll be able to understand and apply God's truth to your mind and then to your heart and then to your feet that you can go out and live it. At any rate, we're in the process now of looking at 1 Kings, myself being the tour director, just pointing out some interesting sights along the way. So if you're at 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4, the text reads this way: Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Now, that's scary stuff. You remember Elijah had done his big thing on Mount Carmel. He had had his sacrifice soaked in water, just licked up by the flames that were sent by God. And the prophets of Baal couldn't get a spark. They couldn't rub two sticks together and get anything happening. And Elijah, rubbing it in their face, sat off to the side and said, maybe your God's gone to sleep. Maybe he's gone away on vacation to Bermuda somewhere. I don't see any fire on your sacrifice. And then some really bad stuff happens. The prophets are killed, and then Jezebel. I suspect that most of you who have daughters, and I do, did not name your daughters Jezebel. And the reason you didn't do that is because of a biblical reason, and that's 1 Kings 19. At any rate, Jezebel said, continuing with the text, that she's going to get him the way he got the prophets. Then Elijah, with great courage and perseverance, went before her face and said in the name... No, it doesn't say that. It says, then Elijah was afraid, and he arose and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. You believe that? Can you believe that? Now, let me tell you something that you ought to know about people. And you ought to know about people because the Bible tells us about people. I am not a counselor, but when I was a pastor, a whole lot of people came to me for counsel. I don't have the gift of counseling. I'm not very wise. But listen to me. I know what the Bible says. And if I know what the Bible says and apply it to my life and to your life, you're going to think I'm really wise. So listen, I'm going to tell you something about people. Some people are never so dangerous as they are the day after they're defeated, after they lose. And some people are never so vulnerable as they are on the day after they were victorious. You say, Steve, would you say that again? Yes, I'll say it again. Some people are never so dangerous as they are the day after defeat, and some people are never so vulnerable as they are the day after victory. Now, that psychological principle, now a biblical one from 1 Kings 19, can be applied spiritually. The spiritual victories you have are likely to be preceded and followed by spiritual depression. I mean, one of the good things that I like about some biographies of famous Christians is that they tell us the truth. And I've told you a number of times, if you've got those puff pieces that are called Christian biographies that lift up the great heroes of the faith who never do anything bad, never get depressed, never get discouraged, let me tell you, in the name of Christ, what you need to do with those biographies. You ought to burn them. You ought to just burn them because they're not true. They're not telling you the whole truth. The thing about Spurgeon is that everybody I know who knows Spurgeon knows that Spurgeon had some serious problems. I don't remember exactly what started it. I think it was a fire in the church where a man died that maybe was the magnet that drew the depression of Spurgeon to it and caused Spurgeon problems for the rest of his life. Did you know that sometimes Spurgeon was so depressed he couldn't preach? Did you know that sometimes he was so ridden with guilt and depression that he had to back off from the pulpit? Did you know that sometimes in the midst of Spurgeon's greatest successes, and he was the finest Bible expositor in the last 300 years, in the midst of his greatest successes, he went through periods of depression? What was happening to Spurgeon? It was the Elijah syndrome, and that can happen to you too. Be aware of the principle so that when you face it, you won't be surprised. Now, if you're a pastor and you've experienced this, man, you have a sermon when the winds of the Holy Spirit lift up your wings And you could go sit in the front row and listen, because you know God's doing business with the people and is using you, a dirty pipe, to send some clear, clean, pure water to the people. And you know it's not you. And it's what I tell my students, until that happens, you won't know that God's using you. But when it happens, you'll never want to do anything different. When that happens, and then when it's after, you know, you've got to go stand at the door and people come out. And, you know, it's bad enough when it's bombed, and you know people were shaking their watches because they thought they had stopped, and nobody heard a word you said, and then they'll tell you at the door that it was a wonderful sermon. You just think, I think I'm going to die. I think I want to just go off like Elijah someplace. But let me tell you what's worse is when it soars, and when God uses it, and they tell you it's wonderful, and you can say to them, I know it was. In fact, the devil already told me it was wonderful. And then you go back to your study, and then what happens? You start getting kind of down on yourself. Elijah syndrome. Start getting a little bit depressed. Elijah syndrome. Now, lest you think I'm just talking to preachers, I'm talking to you too. Psychologically, if you've been very successful, watch it and ask for God's Spirit to uphold you with the inevitable downness that follows. That's called postpartum spirituality. It happens to women that have babies, and it happens to men and women who are being faithful to God. Don't let the devil get at you at that point. Prepare yourself, and don't ever say, nobody ever told me. I just told you. You think about that. Amen. Listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape family, I sure would like for you to be a part of it. Let me tell you how it works. If you call us at 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day, or you write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org and ask to be a part of our Key Life Tape family. We put you on the list, and every few weeks, automatically, you receive a tape. And they keep coming as long as you want them. Now, these are not the tapes of the broadcast. These are tapes of my teaching at Reformed Seminary, at the Billy Graham Training Center, at a missions conference or a Bible conference. And if you've got a cassette recorder, we can study the Bible wherever you want. Now, you can order the tapes from the broadcast, but you have to subscribe to those, so ask us how. And listen, when I say they're free, I really do mean that. That does not mean that I'll turn down a contribution. This is an extremely expensive ministry. And if you could help us, I sure would appreciate it. Charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, and for any contribution of any size, when you request it, you can include it in your envelope. I'll send along the cassette teaching as my thank you, What Good Is Guilt. Hey, listen, whenever you write or call, be sure and give us the call letters of the station. Remember, you can use your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card when you give, and Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.